Bhagavad Gita, 5th chapter, text 25. Labhante brahma nirvanam.
Labhante brahma nirvanam.
Rishayakshina kalmashaha.
Rishayakshina kalmashaha.
Chinna dvaitaya tatmana.
Chinna dvaitaya tatmana.
Sarva bhuta hite rataha.
Sarva bhuta hite rataha.
Labhante brahma nirvanam.
Labhante brahma nirvanam.
Rishayakshina kalmashaha.
Rishayakshina kalmashaha.
Chinna dvaitaya tatmana.
Chinna dvaitaya tatmana.
Sarva bhuta hite rataha.
Sarva bhuta hite rataha.
Labhante,
labhante,
achieve.
Achieve.
Brahma nirvanam,
brahma nirvanam,
liberation in the supreme.
Liberation in the supreme.
Rishayaha,
rishayaha,
those who are active within.
Those who are active within.
Kshina kalmashaha,
kshina kalmashaha,
who are devoid of all sins.
Who are devoid of all sins.
Chinna,
chinna,
having torn off.
Having torn off.
Dvaitaha,
dvaitaha,
duality.
Duality.
Yata atmanaha, engaged in self-realization.
Sarva-bhuta,
for all living entities. Ite,
in
welfare work.
Rataha,
engaged.
Engaged.
Those who are beyond the dualities that arise from doubts.
Those are
just listen. What is this? Just listen. Why repeat? Those who are beyond the dualities that arise from doubts, whose minds are engaged within, who are always busy working for the welfare of all living beings, and who are free from all sins, achieve liberation in the Supreme. Purport. Only a person who is fully in Krishna consciousness can be said to be engaged in welfare work for all living entities. When a person is actually in the knowledge that Krishna is the fountainhead of everything, then when he acts in that spirit, he acts for everyone. The sufferings of humanity are due to forgetfulness of Krishna as the supreme enjoyer, the supreme proprietor, and the supreme friend. Therefore, to act to revive this consciousness within the entire human society is the highest welfare work. One cannot be engaged in such first-class welfare work without being liberated in the supreme. A Krishna conscious person has no doubt about the supremacy of Krishna. He has no doubt because he is completely freed from all sins. This is the state of divine love. A person engaged only in ministering to the physical welfare of human society cannot actually help anyone. Temporary relief of the external body and the mind is not satisfactory. This is also not satisfactory. The real cause of one's difficulties in the hard struggle for life may be found in one's forgetfulness of his relationship with the Supreme Lord. When a man is fully conscious of his relationship with Krishna, he is actually a liberated soul, although he may be in the material tabernacle. Labhante brahma nirvanam rishayakshina kalmashaha chinna dvaitha yatatmana sarvabhuta hite rataha. Here Lord Krishna describes the situation of those who are liberated in the Supreme. Labhante brahma nirvanam, those who attain spiritual freedom from material existence. Nirvana means extinguishing of the material existence and its attendant miseries. Brahma Nirvana means that it's not simply attainment of something void, but it's attainment of the Supreme, Brahma. Brahma means the Supreme, ultimately the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Brahmeti Paramatmeti Bhagavaniti Shabdete. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that wherever we see this word Brahma, we should simply put Krishna. And Brahma, Param Brahma means Krishna, finally. So Brahma Nirvana means liberation in Krishna consciousness. Brahma, Param Brahma, Param Dhamma, Pavitram, Paramam Brahma. Brahma is finally Krishna. Brahma means Brihat, the greatest. So the greatest is Krishna. No one is equal to Krishna, no one is greater than Krishna, and therefore he's the greatest. And one gets freed from material existence by surrendering to Krishna. Labhante. One actually, it's not something theoretical. The Bhagavad Gita is just meant for, as Srila Prabhupada said, the recreation of armchair scholars. It's practical. One is meant to achieve something. Labhante. It's not simply, it's theoretical, it's practical. One is meant to get something. Labhante. One is meant to attain freedom from material existence by being situated in devotional service to the Lord. Kshina kal mashaha, freed from all sins. Freed from all sins. Yesham tvantagatam papam jananam punyakarmana te dvandvamoha nirmukta bhajante mam jutavita. Of course, devotional service itself frees one from all sins. But to engage in devotional service, one has to give up sinful activities. Therefore, we have these principles. No gambling, no intoxication, no meat eating, no illicit sex. Because these are the pillars of sinful life. And when the pillars fall, the whole building falls. So, kshina kalmasha, antakatam papa. This is antakatam papa, to put an end, to give up sinful activities. And then yesham tantakatam papam jananam punyakarmanam, performing pious activities. Dvandvamoha nirmukta, one becomes freed from duality and illusion, and ajante mam drudhavata, engages with firm determination in devotional service. Chinna dvaidha yatatmana. Chinna dvaidha means freed from duality, having torn up all conceptions of duality. This duality doesn't mean, giving up duality doesn't mean that we become like the impersonalists. It means that we're freed from the material conception of life. Actually, duality means to think that there's something other than Krishna. To see anything as not being in relationship to Krishna. This is duality. To see everything in its proper relationship to Krishna is real oneness. To see the oneness of all living beings and of the cosmic manifestation as being energies of Krishna, acting according to Krishna's control. Srila Prabhupada emphasizes here the sarva-bhuta hite-rita, that those who are actually on the platform of spiritual perfection engage themselves in welfare work for the benefit of all living entities. Sarva-bhuta hite. Hita means benefit. Sarva-bhuta, for all the living entities. Rataha, they're engaged in that way. Just like the Goshamis. Lokanam hitakarino, tribhuvane, manyo shuranyakam. they're worth taking shelter of because they're engaged in the highest welfare work for all. Lokanam hitakarino. What kind of welfare work were they doing? How many hospitals did the six Goswamis open? How many philanthropic organizations did they start? How many orphanages did they found? How many funds for widows and for the poor? There's no record that they did any of these things. So how can we say they were engaged in welfare work? Krishna kirtana ganano tanaparo. They were singing and dancing. They were writing books. So why do we say they're engaged in welfare work? Welfare work means to take care of the old people, the sick people, the orphans, the victims of disasters. And what were these Goswamis doing? Singing and dancing and writing books. But actually they were engaged in the highest welfare work for the benefit of all living beings. Why? We have to know what the actual need of the living beings is and what the actual welfare work is. We have to know why the living beings are suffering. When Sanatana Goswami met Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Kene Amai Jaratapatroi, why are the threefold miseries always giving me trouble? This was the question. This doesn't work. This wall doesn't. If anyone thinks that babies aren't heard because there's a wall, they're mistaken. This child is disturbing. What can be done? Okay? That's what doors are for. I'm sorry, I know everyone likes to hear, but I can't hear anything if I can't think. It's okay. They've done the most they can do. They're in the room and the door is closed, right? That's the most they can do. More than that, we can't ask. But you need a bigger house. I know.
Before he opens all his baggage, he's going to go on a house.
Krishna should give a temple for our brother. He should give a hall, big hall. We are having restrictions.
Yes, that's there.
We need a hall.
Anyway, it's good for us. Prabhupada said the purpose of our Krishna consciousness movement is to bring the members of the closer to one another. So we're all quite close here. So Srila Rupa Goswami has established in his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu that a program for establishing Krishna consciousness is actually the real world welfare work for every living being. Prabhupada mentions here that the attending to the physical welfare of human society, and he says that it doesn't help anyone. Why? Aren't people suffering? Don't they need help? But the point is that one has to get to the root cause of the suffering. When there's some disease, if the doctor simply gives an aspirin and says, "Do you feel better?" but he neglects the cause of the disease, that's not very good. We have to go to the, if we want to actually get free from the disease, we have to find out, what's the cause of this disease? How can we root it out? That's the need. So we're looking at some problems. We're saying, oh, people don't have enough food, people don't have a place to stay, people have, they're suffering from this disease or that disease. And that's all true. But what's the cause? And what's the context? These are problems, but they're part of a greater problem. We're seeing a problem. Someone has no food, someone has no shelter. But this is a small manifestation of a much larger problem. The problem of repeated birth and death. The problem of having a material body to begin with. If we don't have a material body, we're not going to have material problems. But because we have material bodies, we have so many material problems. Problems caused by other living entities, problems caused by nature, problems caused by our own bodies and mind. Always. These problems are due to our material embodiment, and our material embodiment is due to our forgetfulness of Krishna. Therefore, simply to try to minister to the immediate manifestations of the problem without getting to the root of the problem is a waste of time, or worse, because it makes us think, it puts us under the illusion, now we're doing something about the problem. Now we're doing something about the problem. That's a problem in medical practice. If you give something which gets rid of the symptoms and thereby hides the disease, you're doing a disservice to the patient. Give some temporary clearance of the symptoms so that it seems that there's no disease is counterproductive. It's actually against the welfare of the patient. The symptoms are a sign that there's something systemic which is wrong. Now, if you just try to shoot down the signs, that's bad. Rather, we have to recognize the sign. We have to recognize the sign. These are signs of a deeper problem. We have to get to that problem. Otherwise, we're not helping. We're rather causing harm. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur had a phrase in Bengali that means harm-giving kindness. In the name of kindness, doing harm. And Srila Prabhupada gave an example from his personal experience. Perhaps you've heard that there was some boy who had cholera, and the doctor ordered that this boy has to fast. Very serious matter. And the parents went out for something, leaving the boy in the care of his brother. And the boy asked the brother, "I'm so hungry, couldn't you give me some cake?" So the boy agreed. And then the way it came to Prabhupada's attention was that the parents, when they came home, beat that brother like anything. Huh? The boy's supposed to fast and you're giving him cake? You could kill him. You think you're doing a kindness, but you're actually doing harm. Harm-giving kindness. So Srila Prabhupada did not look with favor upon altruism, philanthropy, and welfare work performed as a substitute for addressing the real problems of human society. The real welfare work is Krishna consciousness, because Krishna consciousness eradicates all the problems. It eradicates the problem of birth and death. It thereby eradicates the problems of old age and disease, because once one becomes Krishna conscious, he doesn't come back. It actually gets to the root of the problems. It's not simply superficial. It's the highest welfare work. That's mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam also. Vedyam vastavam achuvastu shivanam tapatrayam namulanam. Tapatraya means the threefold miseries. And unmulanam means uproots. This Bhagavad Dharma uproots the threefold miseries. When there's some plant and you uproot it, that plant is finished. If you simply cut it, what happens? It grows back again. You may, all right, now I've cut it, but then you look, come back in a short while and the plant is growing again. When you uproot it, it's gone. So the mundane welfare work temporarily cuts down this misery or that misery, and other miseries, or the same miseries, come back. It can't be stopped. In America, in Kennedy's time, they declared war on poverty. And poverty won. And they spent so much money, they did so many things, and poor people are still there. Why? On account of their previous activities. The law of karma is acting in such a way that they have to suffer. Even rich people are suffering. Even if we think, oh, we have to help the poor. What about the rich? The rich are suffering like dogs also. In one sense, they're worse off because they think they've solved the problem. The poor, what do they think is going to solve their problem? To become rich. And the rich are themselves in problems. So many rich people, they're drunkards, they're psychologically a mess. They're committing all sorts of sinful activities, addicted to sinful activities. They're greedy, they're lusty. Or they may be, you know, nice people, but suffering nonetheless. I had an aunt who was married to a wealthy gentleman, but in her life she had so much suffering. Her legs had to be amputated and so many things. It's no guarantee that now I'm rich so I won't suffer. Everyone suffers in the material world. Everyone. But simply to direct our efforts to helping the poor and not actually helping them, because we don't really address their underlying problem. And at the same time, neglecting the problems that the rich people also suffer is a mistake. Srila Prabhupada said, we have to help the poor, but everyone is poor. Everyone is poor. The rich man is also poor, poor in spiritual understanding. Sometimes, in fact, the poor people are better off because they don't get so puffed up. They don't have the means to perform such vicious activities as the rich sometimes indulge in. They can have sympathy for others because they themselves are in such miserable straits. Sometimes it's better to be poor. Therefore, Narad Muni cursed the sons of Kuvera. You're such rich guys. You're the sons of the treasurer of the demigods. And what are you doing with that? Oh, getting intoxicated, swimming in the pools with naked girls. Huh? Becoming lower than dogs. Becoming lower than dogs. So Narada Muni, Sarva Bhuta Hetairata, He was concerned with the welfare of all living beings, so he cursed them. Now you're living such an abominable life, you should become trees. I curse you to become trees, and you want to stand naked? Stand naked for hundreds of years. This is the reaction. Those who want to stand naked can stand naked for hundreds of years with their arms in the air under the hot sun, under the cold rain. So Narada Muni cursed them, you become trees. Then they became sorry. Oh, Narada Muni, all right, you become trees in the courtyard of Krishna. And when Krishna comes, he'll give you freedom, release you. Oh, Sarva Bhuta Hite, it appeared that it was a curse. May you become trees. But actually, it was a blessing for them. Because a saintly person is actually always acting for the welfare of all. He's acting for the welfare of all. So, Srila Prabhupada wanted us to be firmly convinced, chinna dvaita, freed from dualities. And Prabhupada here indicates that those dualities arise from doubts. Dualities arise from doubts. We're not convinced that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that we're all servants of Krishna, that our real engagement, our real occupation is to be engaged in Krishna's service. That the real solution for the problems, our own problems and the problems of others, is to be engaged in Krishna consciousness. We doubt it. Well, Krishna consciousness may be very good, but what about this? What about this problem? What about that problem? Why aren't we doing something about this? Why aren't we doing something about that? Because we have these material bodies, we persistently think that doing something for the improvement of our bodily existence is actually improving our lives. Very persistent notion. Materially improving our lives is real improvement, and materially improving the lives of others is real welfare work. But Srila Prabhupada was very strong that no, it's not. The real welfare work is to give Krishna consciousness. Therefore, when there was some proposal in Bombay that the devotees should go out to the poor areas and distribute prasadam, Prabhupada said, no. Do not go to the poor areas. Then it will become karmakandya. In the karmakandya section of the Vedas, various kinds of pious activities are recommended. To do some kind of charity, to do some kind of austerity, to do some kind of good work, to plant trees by the side of the road, to dig wells for the public welfare. These things are all recommended, generally with the idea that by performing pious activities, svarga para, one will go to the higher planets. Kamat mana svarga para. What is that? Kriya vishesha bahulam bhogaisharya gatim prati. Kamatmana svarga para, something pala pradam kriya vishesha bahulam. That's the next verse, but this verse just before previous verse, what verse and number is that? Okay, let's see. Yep, kamatmana, janma karma palat pradam, kriya vishesha bahulam, bhogai sharya gatimpati. Generally, yam imam vishvitam vacham prabhadanti avipaschitaha. Vedavadarata parta nanyadasti tivanam. This is the, here Krishna deprecates the so-called followers of the Vedas. Vedavadarata, said to be engaged in the process of Vedic advancement. Vedavadarata, those who are concerned simply with the words of the Vedas, but not with the purport. Yam imam pushpitam vacham. Pushpitam vacham means flowery words. What are those flowery words? By doing this, you'll go to the heavenly planets, where there are beautiful girls, where there are pools of clear crystal water, where there are mountains capped with snow, where birds are singing, where, you know, the description of the heavenly planets. Something like the description of these resort places. It's something like that. That you'll perform pious activities, and by performing pious activities, you'll be rewarded in heaven. And there are whole religious systems that are, that more or less have that as their content. That you perform these pious activities, and God will reward you by sending you to heaven, where you'll have, basically, sense gratification. Bhogaisharya gatim prati. The goal of your will be, and now I'll perform pious activities, and later I'll cash in. I'll go to that heavenly resort forever and enjoy all the facilities there. In the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, such religious systems are kicked out. Dharma prochita kaita vaksha paramo nirmatsaranam satana. This is called cheating religion. Srila Sridhar Swami remarks that cheating religion means religion aimed at dharma, artha, kama, and moksha. It's simply some religious rituals by which I hope to get material rewards, money, opulence, and kama, satisfy my desires, and still have the prospect at the end of liberation, especially by merging into the Supreme. Well, this is called Kaitava Dharma, cheating religion, and Prochita. The distinction of Srimad Bhagavatam is that in Srimad Bhagavatam, all such cheating religion is kicked out. Dharma prochita kaitavocha padamo nirmatsaranam satam. And this science is meant for the devotees who are free from envy. Nirmatsuro pujito. The Goswamis are described as being worshipable because they weren't envious of anyone. They were sincerely working for the welfare of all living beings. They weren't inimical toward anyone. They weren't inimical toward. Envious, Prabhupada said, means that you're sorry to see someone. The Goswamis had no enemies. Dhira dhira jana priya. Priya karo. Nirmatsura pujita. Even the ruffians, the rogues, the gundas, felt that these Goswamis are very nice. Nirmatsuro pujito. So the followers, so-called followers of the Vedas, who are simply engaged in pious activities for material rewards, are called avipaschitaha. Not very expert, not mature in their understanding, or childish. Avipaschit. Vedavadarata partha nanyadastiti vadana. Kamatmana svargapara janma karma palapradam. Kriya vishesha bahulam bhogaisharya gatim pradam. They're performing all of these pious activities to get the goal of sense gratification. Bhogaisharya prasaktanam taya prahita chetasam. Vyavasayatmika buddhi samado na vidhiyate. And because their mind is preoccupied with doing things for the satisfaction of their desires, they never get the firm determination to engage in devotional service to Krishna. Bhogaishaya prasaktanam. They're more attached to sense gratification and opulence. So, but to engage in the service of Krishna requires fixed intelligence. Fixed intelligence. But one whose intelligence is diverted toward sense enjoyment and opulence can't develop that most important focus of the mind upon Krishna. So the section of the Vedic literature where intended for those who are too attached to these things is the Karmakanda section of the Vedas. Alright, at least if you're attached to kamatmanapara, you're attached to kama, material desires, perform pious activities and be rewarded more. The materialist, now especially in Kali Yuga and materialistic society, they want to satisfy their desires, so they just go direct to the point. Somehow or other do something sinful for satisfaction of material lust. Cheat, steal, rape, anything to satisfy our lusty desires. They don't mind that it's sinful. After all, what is sinful? What is pious? There's no God. What is that? Etabhadati nishchita. Kamopabhoga parama etabhadati nishchita. What's the real goal of life? To be all you can. To realize your full potential. And what does that mean? It means sense gratification. It's not that I think my full potential is the potential to be a devotee of God. My full potential is to satisfy my senses, to be great, to achieve all of my goals. Now they're interested in that. But if they're fortunate, they'll come under the Vedic way of life, and the Vedic literature will encourage them. No, you perform pious activities, and you'll be rewarded more. But this is not Bhagavad Dharma. This may be the path for the Karmakandis. But the Srimad Bhagavatam is Paramahansa Sanghita. It's the intended for the advance, for the devotees of the Lord. For those who've accepted Krishna's instruction, Nistraigunya Bhavarjana. Don't stay in these modes of material nature trying to enjoy. Nirdvandvo Nityasattvasto Niyoga Kshema Atmavan. Yavan Artha Udapane Sarvatastam Plutodike Taban Sarveshu Vedeshu Brahmanasya Vijanataha. Just as you can get everything that you might get in a small well from a large body of water, so whatever you might get from the Vedas, Taban Sarveshu Vedeshu Brahmanasya Vijanataha, you'll get by achieving Krishna consciousness. In the village, we have one well for drinking, one well for bathing, one like that. But if you go to the river, then you get everything. You get your water, you take your bath, drinking, everything is there. So all the purposes you can get from this well, that well, you can get from the large body of water. And all the purposes achieved by the path of the Vedas, Karmakandya section, the Jnanakanda section, Upasanakanda section, everything is achieved by the person who attains Krishna consciousness. So In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is not encouraging Arjuna simply to be a karmakandiya materialist. My dear Arjuna, do some philanthropic work, plant some trees, dig some wells. No. He's even telling him, kill your grandfather. Kill your teacher. Kill your cousin brothers. Why? Because I'm telling you to. Because you're my devotee, and I want you to do it. You should do it. The story is there that Yudhisthira Maharaj, you know in Mahabharata, that he had to tell a lie. Because Dronacharya, otherwise how could he be killed? But if he thought that his son had died, then he would give up his life. So anyone might say it, but everyone's a liar. But Yudhisthira Maharaj, he never lies. So if Yudhisthira Maharaj says that now Ashwatthama is dead, then he'll accept it. So Yudhisthira Maharaj, how can I tell a lie? I've never told a lie. Then all right, you say, Ashwatthama, this elephant, but say it in a low voice. So he did that. And Dronacharya was killed. But it said that after that, Yudhisthira Maharaj's chariot, which never used to touch the ground, now touched the surface of the ground. And the ordinary people think that because he told a lie, now his chariot touched the ground. But the actual explanation is that because he hesitated to follow the instructions of Krishna, therefore his chariot touched the ground. Krishna says, Sarvadharman Pratyaja, Mam Ekam Sharanam. This is dharma. Dharmam tu shakshat bhagavat pranitam. Dharma finally means what God says, that's dharma. No, not I shall not tell a lie, not I shall do welfare work for in this way, that way. What Krishna says, bhagavat pranitam, that's dharma. And he says, sarvadharman pratyaja mam ekam sharanam. So the real welfare work is to take up Krishna's order. First of all, before we talk about welfare work, I want to do welfare for others. What about myself? Not that I should be selfish, but the expression is, physician, cure thyself. I want to do welfare for others, and I'm a mess. And what will I do for others? Therefore, not for selfish reasons, but if I want to help others, I have to straighten out my own house. Not that I'm diseased and I'll cure the world. I have to do this welfare of purifying my heart. Not welfare, I'll get so much money, I'll do this, and when I have a big establishment, then I'll do something for others. And actually that's done in these so-called welfare organizations. The director is paid $300,000 a year. You know? Yes. You look and see, because they publish the statements that they're public charities. So to get a qualified director is not so easy to run a big organization. Well, very typically, the director is earning six-digit numbers. Why? Because he needs that kind of salary to live. Well, he himself is diseased. He's doing welfare work for others, And he thinks he's doing welfare work for himself, making good money. But actually he's afflicted by the same disease that's afflicting the whole material world. He's thinking that he's this body, he's thinking life is meant for sense gratification, he thinks he'll be happy somehow in this material world. He's got a good deal, he's working for a big welfare organization, he's making good money, he's helping people, he's having his cake and eating it too, he's got everything. But actually, he's afflicted by the same problems that are afflicting everyone. So the project for real welfare work begins with purifying the heart. It begins at home. Prabhupada said charity begins at home. But before we undertake welfare work for others, we should see that we ourselves are needy. We ourselves are starving. We ourselves are homeless. Because we've turned our back on Krishna. Therefore, we have to rectify that problem in our own lives by becoming Krishna conscious. And along with part of rectifying that problem is to feel sympathy for others. Atma upam yena sarvatra. Where's that verse? Pashyati yarjuna sukham va yadiva dukkham. Yogi paramo mata. Maybe sixth chapter. Atmopam yena sarvatra samam pashyati yarjuna sukham va yadiva dukkham yogi paramo mata. Yes. The real yogi, atmopam yena sarvatra, he sees other living entities in reference to himself. Atmavat sarvabhuteshu ya pashyati sa pandita. He sees that I'm suffering and everyone else is in the same boat. I'm suffering for lack of Krishna consciousness. Others are suffering for lack of Krishna consciousness. I thought I would be happy by making money, by doing this, by doing that. It was a failure in my case. It's a failure for everyone. They're all hurting themselves. So atmaupam yena sarvatra samam pashyati yarjuna. The yogi feels for the sufferings of others. He feels for the suffering of others by his own experience. I know what it's like to suffer. Others are also suffering the same way. He feels genuinely sorry. Why should they suffer? Why should they suffer? Just like Prahlad Maharaj. He's thinking that just to attain liberation on my own is not good. Nayavod Vijay. What is that? Thank you. He's saying that I have no problem because I can always chant your holy name and merge in the ocean of bliss. Tvadvirya gayana mahamrita magna chitta. So I don't have a problem. But sho chetato vimokha chetasa indriyarta. But I'm lamenting. Why are you lamenting? For those who've turned themselves, turned their faces away from your love. Vimukha-chetasa. And for what? Indriyarta. To get some paltry sense gratification. Some false sense gratification. They've turned away from the absolute truth. They've turned away from the oasis and they're running after water in the desert. Indriyarta. Maya sukaya baramudvahato vimudha. These fools have created a grand civilization of illusory happiness. and neglecting your lotus feet. So I feel sorry for them. Atma upam yena sarvatra. This is the mind of the devotee. He feels sorry for others. Sukham va yadiva dukkham. Whether they're suffering or they're enjoying, he sees the actual position. That this suffering and enjoyment are just two sides of the same coin of material illusion. The suffering is superficial. It's not the real problem. And the enjoyment is also superficial. It's not real enjoyment. The real enjoyment comes from being engaged in devotional service. So the devotee is convinced. Chinna daita. He's freed from all dualities in the matter. He's freed from all doubts. Because he's freed from all sins within his heart, within his actual life and within his heart, sins are eradicated by Krishna consciousness. Doubts are eradicated. Therefore, sarvabhuta hite rataha. He's working for the welfare of all. There are welfare organizations. They're working for the animals. The poor animals are being neglected. Or there's some welfare organization for some section of people. Help the Ukrainians, or help the Jews, or help the Arabs, or help the Americans, or help these people, those people. But there's no limit to the mind of a devotee. He's not thinking do welfare work for the animals and neglect the human beings, or do welfare work for the human beings and eat the animals. Sarvabhuta hite rata. He makes no distinction. He sees that even the trees, even the plants, even the animals, they're also living beings. They're also in need. And the way that that need can be met is by the chanting of the holy name. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked Haridas Thakur, how will all these non-living entities, non-moving living entities be saved? Haridas Thakur, yes, by the chanting of the holy name. The transcendental vibration benefits even the trees. Srila Prabhupada said, if no one comes to our program, we'll speak anyway, and the spiders in the walls will hear. They'll benefit. Srila Prabhupada comments someplace that anyone who thinks that performing, he said that the person who's doing immense welfare work is not doing anything more valuable than the person who's simply ringing the bell for the pleasure of the deity in the temple. And anyone who thinks otherwise is an atheist. Yes. Because serving Krishna and bringing others to the service of Krishna is the real welfare work. And the welfare work that helps the prisoners move from a class B cell to a class A cell is not welfare work. Now your problem is solved, sir. You're in a class A prison cell. No. The devotee wants to see that everyone gets the opportunity to engage in devotional service and get freed, actually, from the clutches of birth and death. That's his aspiration. For that purpose, he distributes books about Krishna, he distributes the holy name of Krishna, he tries to spread the Krishna consciousness movement all over the world, so that people can be engaged in the service of Krishna and be happy. This is his real business. Hare Krishna. Are there some questions? Prabhupada discouraged us from distributing the ordinary food, or discouraged us even from distributing Krishna prasadam. He encouraged us to distribute prasadam, but do not go to the poor areas. That means the program was distribution of prasadam. The history was that he wrote to Giriraj Maharaj that try to increase the distribution of prasadam. That was Bombay, he was the temple president. So they began this program to go to the poor areas. Prabhupada, then they reported to Prabhupada, this is what we're doing. Prabhupada said, it's very good that you're increasing the distribution of prasadam, but do not go to the poor areas. That will be karma kandya. Rather, you should distribute at our temple. We may, but that's not what Prabhupada told us to do. Tsunami. Everyone goes to do something for the tsunami. I was in India after the tsunami, and Indian Airlines, you know, you go to the airport, Indian Airlines has a poster that after all, we're India's airline, so we have to help. You know, if we don't, who will? You know, we're a good airline because we're helping the victims of the tsunami. There was some article. Every group in the world, they were falling all over one another to be seen in Tamil Nadu or in Sri Lanka helping the victims of the tsunami. Actually, we heard that within like 2 days, the government, Indian government, did a better job than the American government. Within 2 days, practically there was no food problem. Everybody's like raising money for food for the tsunami. Within 2 days, there was no food problem. Huh? It was in excess, huh?
Yeah.
It was going to waste.
Yeah.
And the welfare organizations had problems because there were so many welfare organizations blocking the road. I saw the poster, you know, and there's the picture of Sonia, you know, and the Congress Party is doing something for the welfare of the tsunami victim. They're collecting money. Everybody wants to have their face on some sort of poster where they're doing something for the poor victims of the tsunami. Absolutely. When there's a disaster, and there are so many organizations for that. Red Cross, here you have the Red Crescent Society. There are, you know, hundreds of organizations organized for the welfare of, for what Prabhupada calls ministering to the physical welfare of human society. There are so many organizations for that. So many organizations. And they're, you know, they do a creditable job. They go there and they do whatever it is. But that's not our job. Our job is to spread Krishna consciousness. They're not going to do our job. They've got millions of dollars. They've got thousands of people working. They've got a big organization. They do so many things. They're not going to do our work. They're not going to distribute Bhagavad Gita. They're not going to spread the chanting. Then why should we do their work? There's thousands of them and only a few of us. Why should we abandon our work to do their work? Especially when our work is more important. Manusyanam sahasreshu kaschid. For thousands of such welfare workers, maybe one will come and do the actual welfare. So why should he give up that welfare work to do the welfare work that they're already doing? Jayapataka Maharaj wrote a letter to Srila Prabhupada that there was a typhoon in Nadia district, and we went with our boat and we distributed prasadam to the, you know, stranded people, and it was very much appreciated and we got good publicity. So should we continue to do that in the future? The Prabhupada said, it's very good that you distribute prasadam, but you should distribute at our temple or when we go out for Sankirtan with our Kirtan party. Do not go to the emergency spot. do not go to the emergency. We're not meant simply for getting good publicity by going to the emergency spot and having our picture taken, doing some welfare work for the poor, starving victims who are being catered to by every other welfare organization in the world. It's simply not our prescribed duty. It's what Prabhupada told us not to do. Do not go to the poor area. Do not go to the emergency spot. That's what he told us. And sure, the whole world will applaud. You go to the, you know, they'll say, oh, they're doing something to help. And you go and distribute books, and they'll say, these people are obnoxious. They're disturbing us. You chant Hare Krishna, they'll say, oh, they're making noise. But that's the actual welfare work. Just like the patient, the doctor gives him an injection, and the patient takes it as an offense. You've attacked me. You've pierced my skin. You've done something that hurts. But the doctor knows that it's actually for the benefit of the patient. And you just give him a little sugar pill, he'll say, oh, thank you. I'm going to go to you. You're the best doctor. But actually, this is the real welfare work. To spread this chanting, to distribute these books, to give this knowledge of devotional service. That's the real thing. And naturally, in that program, prasadam plays a very important part. When there's a temple, then, or when there's a function of Krishna consciousness, there must be prasadam. Asristanam, what is that? Mantrahinam, asristanam. What is that? No, ashristanam mantrahinam adakshinam. What's the beginning? Mantrahinam adakshinam.
Adakshinam shatta virahitam
yatna. Yeah, that's the one. What's the first? What's vidihinam? Vidihinam ashrishtanam mantrahinam adakshinam. Some yajna performed, but without following the rules and regulations, vidihinam. And asrishtanam, without distributing prasadam. And mantrahinam, no chanting of the holy name of the Lord. And adakshinam, no reward given to the Brahmins. That's or no respect shown. What's the final?
Shraddha-virahitam yajnam.
Performed without any faith. Shraddha-virahitam yajnam. Tamasam. Parichakshate. This is yajna in the mode of ignorance. There must be distribution of prasadam. There must be chanting of the holy name. There must be some reward, charity distributed to the Brahmins and especially to the performers of the sacrifice. The rules and regulations must be followed. Then it's yajna. Otherwise, it's yajna, but it's tamasa parichakshita. It's performed in ignorance. So when there's a function, no function is complete without distribution of prasadam. A temple means that you go. There must be chanting of Vedic mantras or the Hare Krishna mantra. There must be glorification of the Lord from bona fide literature like Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam. There must be darshan of the Lord. And there must be prasadam. There must be books. There must be prasadam. So that's an essential part of our program. Anyone who comes to our temple must get prasadam. Prabhupada sent a letter one time to all of our temples and said that now I want that in every temple you should have a program to prepare prasadam for at least, I think he said, like 8 people. So anyone can come at any time of the day and immediately prasadam will be there. Full prasadam. Not hot me. Full prasadam. Full prasadam. And he said, there can be no excuse, you must do this. He said, And if people come and take, then immediately you cook again so that more people can come. And at the end of the day, if no one comes, if there's something left over, our men will eat it. I want this implemented immediately in all of our temples. And still it's not implemented, but we're feeding the poor, we're going to the disaster areas that Prabhupada told us not to go to. That karma yoga is Krishna consciousness. The karma yoga where they're simply attached to, where it's more karma than yoga. Even that may be considered Krishna consciousness, but it's very rudimentary. Otherwise, when Prabhupada says that karma yoga and bhakti yoga are the same, he means that by performing one's prescribed duties, one is seeking to please Krishna.
That's not bhakti yoga.
That's bhakti yoga. Yeah, in that sense, therefore Krishna says, what is that? There's sankhya yoga pratagbala pravadanti avipaschita pravadanti napandita. That there's no difference between a person who's a philosopher and a person who's acting. When a person is understanding by philosophy that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and when a person is acting for the service of Krishna, it's the same. So, yoga means bhakti yoga. And karma means by our activities we'll please Krishna. Otherwise, sometimes it's taken that karma yoga, jnana yoga, bhakti yoga, karma yoga means that I'm attached to Krishna, to karma, but I'm starting to add Krishna. I'm attached to mental speculation, but I'm adding Krishna. And bhakti yoga means I have no other attachment, I'm simply serving Krishna. And therefore it's a gradual process to free oneself from attachments. Jnana karma adya navrita. Srila Rupa Goswami said, pure devotional service means jnana karma adya navrita. No mixture of karma, no mixture of jnana. Karma yoga means karma mixed with jnana, with yoga. Or karma mixed with bhakti. Jnana yoga means jnana mixed with bhakti. And bhakti yoga means bhakti mixed with bhakti. No other thing. Is that all right?
I have just one more question. This is, when we talk about Varnashram Dharma, the understanding is that, like say in the fourth chapter, Krishna says that I incarnate to establish the principles of religion. And when you go to the 18th chapter, Krishna says, okay, give up all the religions. But if you have to give up all the religions, then what is the need of establishing those religions? I was reading somewhere in Prabhupada's books in Chaitanya Charitamrita, in addition to Gopis, that whatever. They gave up all the dharmas, like Deva dharma, Samaj dharma, so many dharmas. Those dharmas were called the gaunt dharma.
Therefore Krishna says, I'm telling you the greatest secret. I'm telling you the greatest secret. For the people in general, they may not get it. All right, let there be some gradual process for them. They'll follow the principles of Varnashram, they'll follow the principles of ethics and morality, they'll follow something for gradual elevation. But Krishna tells Arjuna, because you're my devotee and my friend, now I'm going to tell you the most secret principle. Sarva dharma an pratya, dharma samstapanartaya, come to establish dharma. But now I'll tell you the real essence, that all the other things you can give up. Mam ekam sharanam, just surrender to me, that's dharma. Is that all right? There was a question on this side?
Yeah. A lot of souls leave their bodies during natural calamities like tsunami, Mumbai rain. Is this karmic or what?
Yes, of course it's karmic. Lots of souls leave their bodies during tsunamis or natural disasters. It's all karmic. Death is karmic. This is what Prabhupada called, what was the word he used? Collective karma. That sometimes material nature knocks us off one by one, and sometimes puts us all together and knocks us off wholesale. So this is wholesale killing. Tsunamis, hurricanes, droughts, they're all due to karma. They're all due to karma. If it weren't for karma, we wouldn't be in this material world. Therefore, simply going and helping the victims of this or that disaster don't really save them, because they still have that same karma afflicting them, but still residing within them. One hasn't addressed that problem. Therefore, Prabhupada said it's something like saving the coat of the drowning man. Because it's the address to the body, and the person himself is not saved. And the guy comes back on shore with the coat, and he's very proud. I swam out and saved him. Everybody else is saying, "You fool. You've only saved his coat." So therefore, Prabhupada deprecated the welfare work aimed at ministering to the physical welfare of human society, and declared very strongly that the real welfare work is this Krishna consciousness. The rest of the world doesn't think so. They think if you're doing things for the poor, for the orphans, for the victims of this or that disaster, then you really care. But Srila Prabhupada says otherwise. Very radical position. Srila Prabhupada is very radical in so many ways. He's not throwing in his bid with the rest of human society, with what people in general believe religion to be, or welfare to be, or knowledge to be, or happiness to be. He's giving a different idea, coming from Krishna, who himself is radical. Sarva dharma and paratyajya. Very radical proposition.
If we tell this, that don't go and do this, then it will...
If we tell them this, they may be unhappy, but it's our duty. Our duty is not to say what people want to hear. Our duty is not to appear like good people in the eyes of the public by doing the things they think are good. Our duty is to serve Krishna and the spiritual master by performing our prescribed duties. And people may think it's good or not good. They may applaud us, or they may throw tomatoes at us. But it's our duty. Not that we only do those things that people will applaud us for, and the things that they don't like we won't do. We have to do what our duty tells us to do. They may sometimes think it's wonderful, they may sometimes think it's terrible. But we don't consult them. Will you like us if we do this? We have to do our duty. Now, naturally, we're not trying to do it in such a way that we become deliberately unpopular. But we have to do it. One way or the other, we have to perform our duties. And this is our duty, to distribute Krishna consciousness. Just like we're meeting here, so it may not be so much appreciated by everyone. Not that everyone will come and say, "Oh, this is very good that you're doing this." But it's our duty. We have to hear about Krishna. We have to glorify Krishna. And it may be approved or not approved by the larger public. But not that we'll say, "Oh, no, you approve of something else, and then we'll do what you think is good." It's our duty, that's all. Anything else?
In the Mahabharata, you have the character Ekalavya.
Ekalavya.
Yeah. Mm. So he was a better fighter or shooter than Arjuna.
Mm.
And when Arjuna saw it, he immediately went to Dronacharya and
told him about Eklavya. So was he envious of Eklavya, or
was Arjun envious of Eklavya? We don't expect that he was, but even if he was envious, then that was Krishna's pastime. At least he was disappointed. Then, wait a second, I thought you made me the best. Jnana Yoga? Of course, the real Jnana Yoga is devotional service. Jnanavan mam prapadyate. The real Jnani finally comes to the conclusion. Vasudeva sarvamiti. Krishna is everything. Let me surrender to Krishna. That's the... But along the way, the Jnanis, those who are speculating, they have so many ideas about... They're interested in the absolute truth. But they think they're going to understand by thinking about it.
They don't read the scriptures.
They'll read the scriptures and they'll say, "What do you think that means?" They'll speculate. They'll either ask themselves or ask their other jnanis, "What do you think?" So, but they'll read the scriptures and then, by their thinking power, they'll try to understand something. So of course that's good in one sense. We're meant to read and think, but unless they come to the point of devotional service, they'll not really understand the absolute truth. Jnana is all right, especially just jnana on its own is weak and perplexing and what's the word? Confounding. One will get confused by so many ideas. They're brilliant philosophers with the wrong idea. But Jnana Yogi means he's guided by the scriptures. Because he's guided by the scriptures, gradually he's expected to come to the point by philosophical analysis, by so many intellectual endeavors. Finally he comes to the point, "Oh, Vasudeva Sarvamiti, Krishna is everything, let me surrender." Therefore it's yoga. It's by intellectual exercise, he's meant to come to the point, "Oh, Krishna is the absolute truth. Let me surrender." Then he takes up bhakti. Well, bhakti yoga is so exalted that upon reaching the end of the jnana yoga system, now he's begun bhakti. Jnanavan mam prapadyate. Bahunam janmanam, after thousands of births, when he finally comes to the conclusion, but Aishcha Sarvaira Hameva Veda. All Vedas are meant for understanding Krishna. Mam Prabhupada. He surrenders to Krishna. And the Bhakti Yogi, he's already surrendered to Krishna. So he's surpassed the best of the Jnanis. Anything else? Okay. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna. Glorious to Shri Prabhupada.